We welcome all of you that are joining now through the window of the camera to the sanctuary of the Holiday Shores Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Rob Lemon, and we'll start at the beginning and say, may God bless you. Hope you have a great Thanksgiving with your family and friends, and if you have folks traveling to come to your location, may God give them safety, and if you're going somewhere else, may God give you safety on the road as well. Well, here we are, getting ready. It's the heading into Thanksgiving week. And it's hard to believe we're here already in 2021, but this is a really good time of year, and I'm glad we can stop and really say thank you. We should do that. Our psalm this morning we'd like to look at, our scripture, is Psalm 100, and it's a great psalm. So here it is projected. But I'd like to start by reading it, and then we'll talk about it. It says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It's he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. You know, I think that Thanksgiving is a wonderful time, but it can also be a dangerous time for us spiritually. It's possible for us to use this holiday season as a time to say thank you to ourselves. We look around at what we have and we say, I've done a good job. I have amassed many things. I have these relationships. And it's easy to say, way to go me. But I want to make sure today that our thoughts and our focus is on the God who gave all of this. And we can begin to consider what we have not as our earnings, but as our blessings. Here's a reminder to us. James says every good and perfect gift is from above. So everything good we have in our lives comes from the Father. And that's our Father in heaven. And then I love what the Holy Spirit says to us in 1 Corinthians 4:7. This is Holy Spirit saying, what do you have that you're so puffed up about? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if all you have is from God, why act as though you're so great and as though you have accomplished something on your own? And the Holy Spirit asks some pretty powerful questions there. This is the day when God should be glorified. And Thanksgiving should focus us on who God is and what God has done for us. What are his blessings? Some years ago, Don Vickers, an Oregon police officer, was on his way down to California for a Harley-Davidson convention. When he and the group that he was riding with came to a construction zone, and that construction zone caused his group of motorcycles to stop really suddenly. And the only way he was going to be able to stop as suddenly as the traffic in front of him was that he had to lay his motorcycle down at a high speed, and as a result of that, he came out of it with a broken shoulder, broken ribs, and a collapsed lung. Well, there was a passerby who stopped by, and they came to Don Vickers' help. She told him her name. Her name was Sally. She said, I'm a registered nurse. I will help you. So she cradled him in his pain and assured him that help was on the way, that the ambulance was coming. And when the paramedics arrived, he was airlifted to a hospital where he spent more than a week, almost 2 weeks. Now, after his healing, he was really intent on finding Sally and thanking her. He says that when I woke up there on the pavement, she was holding my head. She very calmly talked to me, and she afterwards, she just walked off. And it's really important for me to be able to find her and to say thank you to her. Now, Don Vickers' wife says her husband's need to find Sally is, quote, almost an obsession. Almost an obsession. Well, I want to say here this morning that Thanksgiving is a good obsession. That's something we ought to do. The obsession of our Thanksgiving. And God is the one who we ought to be saying thanks to. Now, Psalm 100 is an incredible psalm. It provides us with the how, perhaps the where, the what, and the why of Thanksgiving. And I thought it'd be just a great place to settle our hearts and our attention on here this morning. So here are some Thanksgiving directives straight out of God's Word. He says this is the way that we ought to praise Him and to say thank you for the blessings that we have. So we're going to start off with the first piece of this, and that's the what. What is it exactly we're supposed to do? So the Scripture tells us here in verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. So it's pretty clear, isn't it? We're to go to God. We're to go into His presence. We're to enter His gates and His courts. Now that's Middle Eastern terminology for how you approach the king on the throne in that day. You would go to where he was. You would enter the palace gates. You would go into his courtroom. And that's what we're to do with God. And once there, we're to bring the thanksgiving we've brought along and the praise, and we're supposed to give it to him. So this is something done right before the king in his presence. Oh, let's remember that as we take, and let's not just rush in and rush out, but we're going in before him. Now, I should point out that there's a distinction here when he says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Those are two different things. This is many times parallel Hebrew poetry, but in this particular, and many times two lines will mean very similar things. These are two different words, and they mean two different things. Now, let's look at praise, first of all. Praise is the act of looking at God and thanking Him or commending Him for who He is and what He's done for us. It's recognizing and acknowledging His qualities, His work, His characteristics, His character, His love. And so we stop and we look at God and we just say, thank you for who you are and what you are. Now, since we're really close, you can flip over to Psalm 103. Psalm 103 is a great praise song, and it serves as a great example for us. Praise is telling God who He is and thanking Him for that. So here we start in verse 1. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Then we start into a long list about God. It may look like a list about us and what we've received, but we have to remember this is the giver. And the psalmist is holding up the giver and saying, consider this. This is what your God has done. So verse 3 says, who forgives all your sins. We can look at God and say, thank you, God. I praise you because you are a forgiving God. Oh, if He held it against us, we'd be in so much trouble. But He doesn't. Because through Jesus, He can forgive us. So God, thank you for forgiving us. You're a forgiving God. And then the next part of the phrase, God is a healing God. Man, how many times has God stepped into your world and healed you? Sometimes it's physical. Sometimes it's emotional. Sometimes it's relational. But God has been the one who has stepped into your world and put things back together. Isn't that an amazing thing that God can do that? Then down to verse 8, it says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. you know, you can start there and go, you know, God, I thank you that you're compassionate. You're the God of compassion. You're not quick to judge. You're gracious. You love to give. These are all wonderful expressions of God's character and who he is. We can praise him for it. God, thank you that you're slow to anger. You're a slow to anger God, quite unlike the pagan gods. God, you are a God who abounds in love, God. You just pour it out, your love to us. And God, thank you. Verse 10, you don't treat us as our sins deserve, because you're a God who is just merciful to us, and you don't repay us according to our iniquities. And so praise comes from insight into what and who God really is. And that's why as we read the scriptures, whether it be Psalms in the Old Testament or the Gospels in the New Testament or the letters from Paul and the other apostles, we can go, wow, look at our God. Look at who he is. Look at what he is, flows out of his character. And we can say thank you for those things. So praise starts to come out of us from the insight into who God really is. And boy, when you start seeing who God is, it does something. It makes the faucet of praise want to turn on. You know, how do we praise? What's a good way to do it? Singing songs and hymns. Finding songs that express who God is. It's a great way to praise. And that's why our songs and hymns should be about God and not about ourselves. But on the other hand, thanksgiving is a little bit different than praise. Thanksgiving looks at what God has done for you and says thanks. That's what thanksgiving does. It's specific blessings. It's specific gifts that God has given. And so usually thanksgiving, because it's a personal thing, you express it in words. God, you did this for me. Thank you. You did this. You encouraged me here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanksgiving. And thanksgiving then is rooted in an understanding of what God has done for me. And I'm just putting it back on the table. God, I know you did this and this, and I recognize your love here and your compassion here and your forgiveness here. Thank you for taking me through what I've gone through and for teaching me the lessons. Thank you. Thank you. Now, you can see that praise and thanksgiving really do kind of interweave, don't they? They can be really close together. Thanksgiving comes from counting my blessings. We maybe should have sung that this morning. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you're discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. It'll surprise you what the Lord has done. Blessing counting is a good pastime. If you can't fall asleep at night, don't count sheep, count blessings. It'll make a big difference in your life. So God, I praise you for who you are, and I give you thanks for what you have done for me. And I said we kind of talk about where in this passage as well, as I'm not going to emphasize it as much, but where? His gates, his courts. We're in his city. We're in his throne room. We're standing right there in his presence when we bring our praise and our thanksgiving to him. That is the place where the angels praise. Oh my, you go to Revelation and you see angels singing and praising God. And you see, and that's where the dead praise him. Those souls that have gone on ahead of us and they're in the presence of God and they're praising God and thanking him for what he's done. And we have a lot of illustrations of that in Revelation as well. And that's where people from around the world are entering his presence, just like you and I. And you know, at this very moment, there are people in Africa who are going into the presence of God and saying, oh God, I praise you for what you are, and I thank you for what you've done. And so all around the world, there are God's people, even right now, even this morning, maybe some waking up in the middle of the night in Asia, and they're going, thank God, praise God. And they join the chorus, and we all meet right there at his gates and in his courts. What a gathering. You talk about a happy reunion someday when we're all there. We can all see each other. We can all hear our praise going up to God. What an amazing time that's going to be. And it may not be that far down the road for us at all. We ought to all join that chorus, all the nations. You know, God's goal, and we see that in many places in the psalm, is that all the nations join the chorus of praise. And so from the morning when folks get up, they start praising him. It goes all day long, and then they praise him even as they lay upon their beds at night. So we go in the morning, we return in the evening. And as Psalm 92, verse 2 says, morning and evening, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. We just continually do it. We should bless God. We should praise him all day long. We should give thanks to him no matter what. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, give thanks in all circumstances. You know, even the bad times, the hard times, the difficult times. We've had a lot of those the last couple of years, haven't we? We should still give thanks. And that goes on to say, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Oh, God must love the praises that come out of the really hard times. Because he knows it's hard for us to do it, but he's pleased that we're turning to him because it's an act of faith. And he loves to hear that. Hebrews 13:15 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Continually. Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Psalm 34, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. So, what is it we're supposed to do? God says, give your heart and life to praise. Give your heart and life to thanksgiving. Point out God and who he is and what he's done for you. That should be the continual thing that comes out of that. I guess that's those last verses I showed you. Praise him no matter what happens. Let's continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Always giving thanks. I'll extol the Lord at all times. That's our marching orders. That's what God wants us to do. Praise and thanksgiving. But let's look at why. Why do we do this? This is verse 3 and verse 5. And those verse 3 simply says, know that the Lord is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. For the Lord is good, verse 5, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generation. Why should we praise God? Well, if you just can't get your praise engine going, this will help. The psalmist says, start here, start here. Why should I praise and thank God? Or where should I start? First of all, know that he is God. Know that the Lord is God. We recognize him. Start your praise there. God, I thank you that you are God. Do you know how many people are out there in the world claiming that their God is the God? That the thing they think is important and the thing they worship is the ultimate place of fulfillment and satisfaction? And every time we come to God, we should say, God, I understand that you are God. There is nobody else. That's Satan. He's a usurper. And he's not God. And he is just a shadow, a minuscule nothing compared to you. And so we're recognizing that our Lord, Yahweh, is God. We ought to tell him that. That's the basis of my heart and life, God. I'm worshiping you because you're the only God. That's a great place to start. Tell him when you enter his presence that you believe he is God, the one and only supreme God. There's no other being. A great place to start. And then we have to recognize it's he who made us. Did you ever make something? Build something? Fix and repair something? That's what God has done. You. Have you seen your product tag? Where'd they put your product tag? I've never found mine. But it says made by God, made by Jesus. And it's, I don't know, it says 100% something, but I can't tell what that is. Maybe in my case it's 100% lemon. 100% lemon. This is the person that made me. Oh, when I come into his presence, I'm standing there with my designer and builder. And if you look in the mirror and you go, well, he didn't do a very good job. Well, he's not the one that messed us up. But he's not done with you yet either. And someday when he's finished and you look in the mirror, you're going to be going, wow, look at how he made me. And you'll be happy that you walked with him and he was able to accomplish in you what he wanted to do. This is the person that made me. That's pretty special. And then we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And I belong to him in some sort of a covenantal relationship, like a sheep has with the shepherd. And you know, sheep were totally dependent upon the shepherd for everything. For the food and where they would eat and their water. If they didn't have the shepherd, they might not even be able to find that. Maybe the food, but maybe not. And then also, the shepherd protected them. We have a shepherd that protects us. He was the one who gave them their health care. So he would take care of their wounds. And every night as they went back into the sheep pen, he was going over every animal to make sure there were no bugs on it, in its nose, no infection someplace, the sheep looked healthy, and so on. That's what the shepherd was doing. And, you know, we're in a covenant relationship like that, a shepherd-sheep relationship with God. And so we're dependent on him. David brings this out, the Holy Spirit does, in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or, as one of the paraphrases puts it, because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. That's a blessing, isn't it? A covenant relationship with this shepherd who made me and who loves me so very, very much. We notice, too, that the Lord is good. This speaks of how he relates to us. And that first verse I showed you back at the beginning of the message in James 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. And then the New Living Bible says in this verse, whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father. So everything we enjoy in our lives, every good gift he's given us is from him, from God himself. That's a great place to just start saying thanks. What is it I enjoy? What is it I love? What is it I appreciate? What is blessing me? Who is encouraging me? God has plugged all that into my life so I have something to say thanks about. And then his love endures forever and his faithfulness continues through all generations. His love. And the word that's used here is kashid, which is his faithful, ongoing, sacrificial love for us. It's like, and this is one of the hardest words in the Old Testament to translate, and Psalm 23 has it, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. King James translators didn't know what to do with the word there. It's more than mercy. It's his love. It's his loyal love, his faithful love. We tend to look at the cross as an illustration of God's love for us, and it is, but that same faithful love is going to go on forever and ever, even when we're in his presence, even for millions of years, even an infinite time in the future. He loves us. He loves us. And we'll be able to look around our lives and see expressions of God's love. Yeah, he's given us his word. He's given us a family. He's given us so many things that we need as far as daily necessities. We have warm houses to sleep in. We have food on the table. We have medical care that's really profound most of the time. And all of this is like a good gift from God. So why should we praise? Because he's God. And he's inputting into our lives. He made us. And we're his people. We're in this relationship with him. And he's good toward us. And he just is faithful. And he loves us all the time in so many profound ways. That's why we ought to praise him. That's why. This is an interesting one. Let's talk about how do we praise him. Here's what the NIV says in verse 1. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. That could get pretty loud. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Now, I know the King James there says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. But the NIV is a little more accurate. It's shout for joy to the Lord. Okay, have you ever been obedient and shouted to the Lord his praise? Have you ever made a shout, a loud shout unto the Lord? I asked Anita, and I'm not sure what the answer was there. I don't tend to think of shouting as befitting for the Lord, right? Well, let's think about this just a little bit. Is that a strange word? Maybe it is in our thinking. I got some help, though, when I was thinking about this and putting these thoughts together. I went to the Dictionary of Biblical Imagery. I said, talk to me about shouting. What could this possibly tell us to do? How are we, what are we supposed to be shouting, and what does that mean? Well, I thought it was really interesting. This is what they said, Dictionary of Biblical Imagery. Shouting means different things in different contexts. At a sporting event, shouting is the normal way to express the joy that one's favorite team has just scored, or shouting is contempt at bad officiating. And we do both, don't we? In a grocery store with soft music gently persuading the customer that all is right with the world, the sound of an angry mother shouting at her defiant two-year-old is unsettling. Spilling from the open window of an apartment building, shouting takes on the uncomfortable character of an episode of The Honeymooners. Boy, I wonder how many remember that. That would be on the old, golden oldies television stations. Everyone in that situation, if you hear shouting coming out of an apartment window, everyone hopes the bark is worse than the bite, but one never knows. And so here's their summary. In short, they say, all that can be said of shouting is that it is an indicator of strong emotion. And so you have to look at the context to find out what that emotion should be, the identity of it. Because the Bible, you know, it uses shouting for joy, shouting the war cry. It's an indication of pride or defiance in 1 Samuel 17. It's a proclamation of something important. It seems, though, that a shout in this application would just be it's joy directed toward God. And it's something that's heartfelt. This shout, this thing that's coming out of us, is really where our hearts are. And God is saying, be real when you come to me. Don't just blah, 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 blah. But this God I really am thankful for, and this. And so that becomes not necessarily the loudness of it, but the reality of it coming out of our heart. I'm shouting. What is happening as I'm praising God is heartfelt. It's moving us. It's like a storm of gratitude in our heart being expressed. Our outward expression is a real demonstration of what's in our hearts. So I don't think we're talking here about loudness or necessarily emotion, although that could be a part of it. But our hearts are really engaged with what we're saying. So shout for joy. God wants us to be real when we come with our praises and our thanksgiving. You know, since we're right here, you can look back at Psalm 98 as well. It says there, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. And make music to the Lord with the harp and with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, all the earth." So be real as we come out and deliver our praise to God. Now, that's all shout for joy. Shout. Also, we should worship with gladness. Worship with gladness. That's how we should praise and thank God. Give him worship with gladness. And that word means delight or happiness or joy or pleasure or cheerfulness. And I think what God's saying here is that our worship times should not be sad. They should not be gloomy times. When we come into God's presence, we should come with gladness. Put a smile on your face and start worshiping him with joy. And maybe the idea here is you might start off sad. Because, you know, there's some days it's like, ugh. But if you go into his presence and you start expressing gratitude for who God is and what he's done and your trust in him, you might start sad, but you're not going to stay that way very long. You notice that? You can easily get to the point where you're going, yes, God. You know, it gets to that point. You know, in the Pacific Northwest, where it's overcast most days, there are a lot of people that suffer from what they call light deprivation, which results in mood swings and depression. When we lived in West Virginia, Anita and I had that same problem. It was just like, particularly in the wintertime, it's just like we were dragging. We were just struggling emotionally. And then we had heard about one of these studies, and I'll finish my article here. But the sun on that house, on the south side, we had a hill. We got really no sun coming in the house during the day. And the sun rose on one end of the house with no windows, shut on the other side of the house with no windows. We weren't getting sunlight. So we were really struggling, and we learned some of this stuff about SAD or seasonal affective disorder, and got a bunch of really bright torch lights. They're not safe. I don't even know if they sell them anymore, but they were really bright. That made such a big difference. And that's what it says here. People suffering from seasonal affective disorder have to set up special light panels in their homes and get heavy doses of illumination in order to be happy campers. We need light. We can't survive without it. And you know, we can't survive without the Son of God either. We need him. And our shadowy hearts, tinted by selfishness and confusion, need his light. You know, when we enter his presence, it does so much for our lives, moments, day by day. So it can change our sad hearts as we come with praise and worship. It changes our hearts. Then come before him with joyful songs. So when we're in the presence of God, we should be joyful. You say, but I'm glum, I'm sad, I'm depressed. Do you want to stay that way? No. The problem when we're worshiping and we're still gloomy and sad and frustrated and depressed, it's because we're still thinking about me. When I go to worship, I should think about him, don't you think? I should think about him and what he's done and how he loves me and his blessings and the positive things he's done in my life. When I change my focus, I start having joyful songs. Yeah, don't we? You've been there, done that. It changes our hearts. Worship before God is about him, not about us. So that's how we can praise God. We should shout for joy, come to it, really be real with God. Worship him, be glad in his presence, come there with joyful songs. And I don't think God minds if we don't sing all that well. We can hum, we can sing, whatever. Just come into his presence. In closing, have you ever wondered why God needs to be praised? See, what's the matter with God? Why does he need to be patted on the back all the time? Does he just like to see us grovel, to come and bow down and worship and so on? There's a lot of people that say that, and they don't like God very much because he's elevated and we're not. But I think we have to answer the question, who benefits when we worship? And it would seem to me that when we worship God, we really don't add anything to him because he's already perfect. He's already got everything he needs. He doesn't lack anything. So is it possible that when we praise and when we say thanks, it does something for us? And I think the answer to that is yes. C.S. Lewis, a great English theologian, wrestled with the same idea. And I'd just like to share something that he said, and this is in his book, Reflections on the Psalms. He says, the most obvious fact about praise, whether of God or anything, strangely escaped me. I thought of it in terms of compliment, approval, or giving of honor. I had never noticed that all enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise. The world rings with praise, lovers praising their beloved, readers praising their favorite poet, walkers praising the countryside. I had not noticed that just as men spontaneously praise whatever they value, they spontaneously urge us to join them in praising it. They say, isn't she lovely? Wasn't it glorious? Don't you think that that's magnificent? So they're trying to draw us into the praise. And so he says, I think we delight to praise what we enjoy, because the praise not merely expresses, but it completes the enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation. The goal, the Scottish Catechism, says that man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him together. Fully to enjoy is to glorify. In commanding us to glorify him, God is inviting us to enjoy him. So he's saying we get a lot out of praise. It does something in us, in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits. Praise does something. And so we benefit when we go and we say thank you to God. Sincere praise begins with enjoyment. When I begin to enjoy God, it just opens up my lips and I begin to praise him. For to know him is to love him, and to love him is to praise him. So God help us. May we enjoy our God as we praise him, not only today, not only this week, but in the days to come. Let's stand and pray together, shall we? Father, thank you for giving us the privilege of enjoying you. Thank you for giving us the awesome responsibility, but yet the opportunity to praise you and to say thanks to you. And perhaps it doesn't add much to you, but it sure adds a lot to us. And when we don't come with our praise and our thanksgiving, then we're left empty and we're left joyless and we don't connect with you the way that you intended for us to. So I pray that we'll come right there to your gates, through the gates into the courtyard, and stand in your presence with the angels and the dead saints and people all around the world. Say thank you to you and praise you. Father, help us to learn how to do that on a regular basis. Help us to learn to bring our sadness and our sorrows into your presence, but then turn away from us to you so that we can see and understand that you're trustworthy and reliable and you'll take care of us. And that's the topic of our songs. Thank you. You're a great God. You deserve our praise. Help all of us to be filled with the enjoyment of God that just comes out in praise. Thank you for writing Psalm 100. Holy Spirit, what a great passage. We come in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.